Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Good morning, church. Good morning, church. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We continue on our series of studies from the Gospel according to Matthew. And again, this morning we find ourselves in chapter number 5, and we will read verse 33 to verse 37. And I'll be reading from the ESV. Those who are using the Pew Bibles, it will be page 810. As our brother Elder Russ was saying, we are not an English church, but many people here speak different languages, so English is the only media that we can use. And I hope you will continue to pray for us. I read from verse 33 to verse 37, and it reads as following. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. Friends, those who are always here, you know we've been going through this gospel according to Matthew from verse 1, chapter number 1. And those who have been here the last few weeks, you know that all this from verse number 21 onwards, it's in one context. Jesus is dealing with the issue of righteousness. So what we see this morning is that deep beneath the sin of adultery is dishonest. Since our title this morning is Be Honest. That is what the call is this morning. Be honest. So, deep beneath the sin of adultery is dishonesty. Deep beneath any sin that you may think of, it is the dishonesty of heart. And the most challenging thing or most frustrating thing is the fact that most professing Christians are dishonest. Some will even swear on their mother's grave when telling a lie. People vow today, they get married, 2 minutes later they are divorced. Why? Because there's dishonesty of heart. Husband lies to their wives, and the wives, they return favor in a higher level of hypocrisy as they return the favor lying back to their own husbands. Why? Because all have turned aside. Together, they've become worthless. No one does good, not even one. So Jesus, if you will have to deal with the issue of righteousness, he has to emphasize the issue of honesty of heart. It's very important for him to deal with the fact that we can speak about lust, we can speak about divorce, we can speak about all these things, but if there's still dishonesty in the heart, then the matter still stands. So he comes now, he continues here in the study and speaks about honesty of heart. Because dishonesty is what leads to divorce. Dishonesty leads to loss of job. Dishonesty leads to adultery. Dishonesty leads to broken relationship and distrust. So what Jesus does here in these few verses, verse 33 to verse 37, is to remind us of the importance of honesty, which should be seen in us, which should be seen practically as we live among a people. It should be the emblem of our righteousness. It should be that which proves that we are a people who have a righteousness which exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. That is what it should be, revealing us to a people out there that we are a people who speak the truth. We are a people who are Christ-like, a people who always strive to do what is right and be perfect before God, a people who does not need to convince by swearing and making vows before people they trust us. We should be that kind of a people. A people who doesn't need to say many words so that they may be trusted. People who say what they mean and mean what they say. People who knows that God hates a lying tongue and a false witness who speaks lies. This day people don't understand that God hates lying and he hates people witness lies about other people. People who knows that a false promise is a lie, regardless of how small and how big the promise is. A false promise is a lie. People who have to understand that flattering is a lie. What is flattering? To say something nice to a person, but you don't mean it. It is a lie. Saying your daughter is an angel is a lie. People who will understand that those things, people understand that false doctrine is a lie. If you embrace false doctrine, if you go to a church that teaches false doctrine, you are under a lie. That's what God wants us to understand. People understand that hypocrisy itself is a lie. To pretend to be something that you are not, it is a lie. Because there you give an impression to people as though you are this righteous person while you live like a demon. That is a lie. The call then this morning, as we continue looking at the Sermon on the Mount, is to be honest. Firstly, what I want us to look at is God's teaching to those of old on this issue of honesty. What did God teach to those of old on this issue of honesty? Then you look at your Bible, verse 33, it says, "Again you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn." There you can see that the Old Testament taught the importance of telling the truth, the importance of being honest. To be honest to yourself, to be honest with those next to you, to be honest to God Himself. The Old Testament taught people to be honest. If you remember very well how God came in the life of Cain, trying to counsel and to correct Cain before he killed his brother, trying to tell Cain that be honest with yourself. Something is wrong within your heart. There is nothing wrong that your brother has done. You are the one who's got the problem. Deal with the issues inside your own heart. Then it will be done to you exactly how it is done to your brother. You will also receive the blessing if you do what is right within your own heart. But what did he do? He continued in his sinfulness. He continued in his disobedience. And consequently, he killed his innocent brother. He slaughtered him, the one and only brother that he had. And just to remind you, friends, Jesus already mentioned that he did not come to abolish the law, which is why we look back, which is why he says it was said to those of old. He said he did not come to abolish the law. We are clear about that. But then it has to be obvious that someone else was in the business of abolishing the law. And in the context of this gospel, according to Matthew, actually in the context of Jesus' whole life, ministry on earth, people who were in the business of abolishing the law of God was the Pharisees and the scribes, also the Sadducees, in their ignorance. I'm saying so in their ignorance because some of them, they grew up, came to the system, not knowing what was right and what was not right, embraced the lie, protected the lie, willing to die for the lie, teaching other people the same lie. So in ignorance, they were abolishing the law of God. And I think we see the very same thing today, friends. There are many people who love God, but they find themselves in these false churches, preaching false doctrine. But the people love God, and they are immersed in this false doctrine. But they love God, because this is how they grew up. This is how things are done in the church. But they continue drinking in the heresies out there, to the point that they think they're in the right path, when actually they're in the path of ruins. And I think that is what was going on with many of the Pharisees. But regardless of all that, that is beside the point. They continued to teach false doctrine. They were reliable before God of what they taught. They misled the people. They misled the whole nation, teaching politicians how to think of the children of God by teaching false doctrines, interpreting the word of God in a way that suits their own false doctrine. They did all this to the point whereby God was almost cut off completely in the entire land of Israel, while they were claiming to be teaching the doctrine of God. So it's possible to claim that you are teaching the doctrine of God, but God is actually cut off. You only speak and say God, but you don't mean the God of heaven. You don't mean the Savior that saves sinners. You mean your own God that you create, a God that you create in your own imagination. It is possible to speak about God. It is possible to say things about Jesus. That is why he says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. Because people are able to fabricate their own form of Jesus. And then you find it's not the Jesus of Scripture who saves sinners. So in this verse, verse number 33, Jesus brings together, as we continue to look here, he actually brings together three passages of Scripture to teach us what God said about the issue of honesty. So as you read verse number 33, is a combination of three passages. The first passage is Deuteronomy verse 31 of chapter 23. Deuteronomy 23, chapter 31. Listen to what the word of God says there, if you're writing down. If you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay fulfilling it. For the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. The second verse or text, Leviticus 19 verse 12, if you're writing down, it says, you shall not swear by the name, let me read again, you shall not swear by my name falsely and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. The third one, Numbers 30 verse 2, if a man vows a vow to the Lord or swear an oath to bind himself by a pledge, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceed out of his mouth. The passages that I just read to you makes it clear, friends, that a vow to God must be kept and must be followed through faithfully. So what this passage tells us is that God demands truthfulness and honesty of heart. God demands truthfulness and honesty of heart. So lying in the name of the Lord is actually to insult God, as though you are saying that God is a lover of lie. But even so, people knew these things. People knows this thing. This doesn't mean that if I'm saying lying in the name of the Lord, it only means that we are lying and using God's name and says, I'm telling you the truth, even God is my witness. Not only that, even when you are lying and talking your lies there by the streets and you're not even mentioning the name of the Lord, God is omnipresent. This world is his footstool. He's present everywhere. You are lying in the presence of God anyway. But yet, our politicians, they continue to lie to us. Some of them in the name of God. Yet, people continue to promise things that they shouldn't promise. Our schools teaches lies about God. Many pastors and prophets and apostles continue to lie, telling people things that God did not promise and say, God has promised. You get these people who will declare people healed when people are really not healed. Declaring people to be healed when they themselves are suffering from sickness. Their own little children are dying from sickness. They are deceiving the nation. Lying in the name of the Lord. I remember one day, I don't know if I was with my wife, I was watching a program on SABC3 called Nolin. I think Nolin on E or on 3 or something like that. But Nolin was playing there. And in that program, a popular actress declared herself to be a born-again Christian. And she said it was a new experience to her. But she said from the moment she became a born-again person, she stopped taking her ARVs. Why? Because according to her, the pastor told her that God promised to heal her. I was sitting there saying to myself, she's going to die. And friends, I'm telling you, she died before the time I predicted, making me a false prophet. She died before the time, dead. But why? Because she believed a lie. Why? Because the pastor promised something that God did not promise. It doesn't mean, I'm not saying that God does not heal. God heals, but God is not compelled to heal you. God did not promise that whenever you have a sickness and you cry to Him, you leave away your medication, He will heal you. He did not say that. That is why He actually brought these doctors into our lives, so that we take those things that God has infused through knowledge in their minds that they may give to us. The lady died. Why? False promises, dishonesty, lie in the name of the Lord. Friends, God strictly says here that people should not dare lie. People must recognize the holiness of God. God says through His word, He commands through His word, He compels every man through His word to tell the truth. Like I said, it's even worse for us as Christians. If you are telling a lie, you are telling a lie in the presence of God. You are telling a lie in the name of the Lord as a Christian. Why? Because you represent God wherever you are, in whatever you do, in whatever you say. You're telling a lie, you're telling a lie in the presence and in the name of the Lord. So God, friends, gave this law to remind the people about God first. That's what we see here. He was reminding the people about God first before they take an oath. So before you take an oath, you have to think about the God who is in heaven. Because when you lie before people, you are not only lying before people, you're lying before God who gave the law. So the first thing that God wanted the people to recognize is Him seated on the throne. That they may be honest then to one another, that they may be honest to Him as well. To remind the people that swearing falsely by His name makes people guilty in 3 levels. You become guilty because you knew that there is a God in heaven. Then you lied anyway. Then you are guilty. Second, you become guilty because you disobey the law that you know God said do not swear falsely or do not tell a lie. Now you are guilty of a lie. But above all, we are guilty of using the name of the Lord in vain. So as we look at this whole thing in its context, it was not wrong, friends, to make a vow. That's not what the Bible tells us. It was not wrong to make a vow. The problem there was the dishonesty of hearts, making promises and lies. If you remember very well, if you are really familiar with your Bible, 1 Samuel chapter number 1, there we have a woman with the name of Hannah, the mother of Samuel. She vowed that if God will grant her a son, she will give this son back to God and let this son serve God day and night in the temple. God honored her prayer and she honored her vow. It was not wrong for her to vow. God honored that prayer. God honored everything and she honored the vow. And Samuel served the Lord day in and day out in the presence of God with the high priest Eli. So what the law was trying to do, what the Lord was trying to deal with, was the falsehood in the heart. God hates falsehood in the heart. That's why he gave the law. It was to point to man that man is responsible before God. Man is liable for every word that comes out of his mouth. Man is responsible for everything that he says. He's responsible to honor God by honoring his word. That is very important. You are responsible to honor God by honoring your word. When you honor your word, you are not honoring your friend, you're honoring God. That is the point that we are making here. So, what Jesus reveals is that telling the truth has to be something of great importance to us, because it was something of great importance before even Jesus Christ came. God spoke about telling the truth. It's something of great importance from the beginning. Telling the truth, being honest to God, being honest with one another. Actually, should Eve have told the truth, we wouldn't be in the dilemma that we are in today. The problem there, Eve told a lie. When Satan said to her, "Did God say?" And then Eve changed the story and said and spoke her own ways instead of telling the truth. If she told the truth then, we wouldn't be sitting here tortured by sin. The sins that we do, the sins we think of in our minds, the sins lying on the bedrock of our hearts. If she told the truth, we wouldn't be in this dilemma we are in even today. Jesus says in this verse, "We have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn.'" So the exhortation here, my friends, is that we need to recognize the holy character of God. You must be honest. You must show reverence to God. Reverence is fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom. That is the call here. Not to use the name of the Lord in vain. Not to use the name of the Lord knowing well what you say is false, and you are not even intending to keep your word. There are people who tell stories, but they are not. They know in their heart they are not intending to keep their word. Stop doing that. So swearing, friends, in the name of the Lord was to acknowledge God's righteousness. It was also to acknowledge God's truthfulness. So as I'm swearing in the name of the Lord, I'm saying God is righteous, I am not. God is truthful more than me. That is what this was all about. It was to declare a personal weakness. I am weak. It was to declare a personal incompetence before God. So the people were acknowledging their weakness, their need for God, a need to trust in God. When you were swearing in the name of the Lord, that is what you were doing. In other words, you were sending a message that though you may not be trustworthy, but you would not dare swear in the name of a sovereign and a righteous God. So you were using God to show the importance of what you are saying back there. That is what this was all about. God wanted people to know that he's truthful, that they also may be truthful as they think about him making their vows. So the call is to be faithful. The call is to be honest. To be honest, like I said, with yourself, honest with others, to be honest with God. And I can tell you, friends, this law worked very well. Why? Because people knew that God will not hold guiltless. He will not hold guiltless people who swear falsely. So people, they knew that once a person swear in the name of the Lord, this is true. Because if he's not telling the truth, God is going to punish him. I wish it was so even this day, but it is not. People are continuing
to take the name of the Lord in vain. But as this law was so strict, teaching the people to be honest, the Pharisees find a way to manipulate the law. They thought they found a loophole of telling a lie without sinning. That's what I want us to look in the second point. I want us to see what the Pharisees taught on honesty. Listen to what Jesus says in verse 34 to 36 as you look at your Bible. He says, "But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not take an oath by your head. You cannot make one hair white or black." He's not talking about that you cannot dye your hair. You can dye your hair. But he's talking about making that hair white or black from the inside out. So do not even use your own head to swear. So the people understood, friends. Are we together? The people understood that God is serious about honesty. This is now the Pharisees now. They're sitting there understanding that God is so strict about honesty. So they try to make a way of telling a truth without being liable before God. So what did they do? They started to swear, but not using the name of the Lord. They started to swear by using heaven, using Jerusalem, using their head, thinking that if you swear in that way, you can tell a lie, but it is not as bad as when you were telling a lie in the name of the Lord. So they were using things like that. So you couldn't trust their statement. You couldn't trust what they were saying, because it might be true, it might not be true. They are not swearing in the name of the Lord. So they thought they found a loophole. But they understood that God demands truthfulness. That is the point. So they thought they will escape accountability, because now the law gave them the idea of what God feels about holiness, what God feels about honesty. Then they manipulated the law, as I'm saying to you. So what they taught was that if you make a vow outside the name of God, like I was saying, you are not as guilty as someone making a vow in the name of God. And that was a lie. That was a lie. The sin was not only swearing by using other names. That was not the only problem. But they were using this name intentionally, knowing that they are not accountable before God. Jesus says, no, you are accountable before God, because heaven is his throne. Earth is his footstool. Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Who's the great king? You might think David. No, the son of David, Jesus Christ. He is the great king. He is the king of Jerusalem. So you cannot even use the name of anything that is created by God. That is why he says, not even your head. You cannot create anything. You cannot trust, or you cannot bring something created by God, or created by anything, or your work of your hands, as a witness to your statement. Because those things cannot testify on your behalf. He says that is why you are bringing these lies, because you know that Jerusalem, I cannot stand up and testify for you that you are telling the truth. So you are manipulating the law. Do not do such things. So they thought they would be lying without a sense of accountability. There they taught people to live in hypocritical lives. People who were neither cold or warm. You didn't know what was happening. Living in dishonesty. They will teach that you must only honor the vows made in the name of the Lord. The other vows made in any other name, you have a right not to honor. What do you see there? Sin. Sin is introduced in this thing. Sin is given a go-ahead to continue. So they were promoting sin without knowing that, without seeing or ignorantly. They were promoting sin. So people could lie. People could tell whatever story they wanted to tell, as long as they don't use the name of God. So Jesus says, no. Don't teach people to make meaningless oaths.
Don't teach people to make an impression. You know, the reason why people lie today, most of the time, and use big words, is because they want to make an impression. They want to look important when they are not important. They want to look sincere when they are just some low-class liars like everybody else. So they will use big words. So actually what happened is that using these names began to be something of a competition, actually. So using these words, the names of Jerusalem or anything else that they were using, in that they started to use those words so that people may see that if I use a word like that, I've used a word that is more important than the word that you use. So I will use Jerusalem. If you use Samaria, Samaria is lower than Jerusalem. So I look impressive now. So they were using those words to look important and popular among the people. People lying to impress. Is that not what is happening around today? You watch your TV, especially those favorite TV stations or TPN and what all those things. People lying in the name of the Lord just to make an impression, just to win a crowd. That is what was happening here. That is the sin. That is the sickness we see today. All those liars having a crowd in the name of the Lord. Not teaching the people that lying is a sin before God, but teaching the people that you can lie and not be accountable. Jesus says no. Do not make careless and meaningless vows, thinking that you can sin without being accountable for your sin. Listen to what he says in Matthew 23 verse 16. Open Matthew 23 verse 16. There we see Jesus rebuking this false religious system. Listen to what he says. Matthew 23 verse 16 to 22. I want to read for you there quickly. He says, 8:28 to those using the Pew Bibles. He says, "Woe to you blind guides, who says, if one swear by the temple, it is nothing." You see, there's the competition now. Once you swear by temple, some people say, that is nothing. He says, "Woe unto you if you say to those who swear by the temple, it is nothing, but if anyone swear by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath." You can see there. People are now making a competition. If you swear by this thing, that is nothing. You need to swear by this thing. You need to swear by that thing. So they are lying to one another. Verse 17. "You blind fools, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that has made the gold sacred? And you say, if anyone swear by the altar, it is nothing. But if anyone swear by the gift that is on the altar, he is bound by his oath. You blind men, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? So whosoever swear by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And whosoever swear by the temple swears by it and by everything. He swears by it and by him who dwells in it." So he was saying there, even though you're swearing by these things that are in the temple, thinking that you can lie, actually you are swearing by the man who made those things, God. So they were still using the name of God in vain. He says, verse 22, "Whosoever swear by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits there." So whether you swear by heaven, you're actually using the name of God. Verse 23, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matter of the law, justice, mercy and faithfulness." The most important thing before God is faithfulness. So they falsely interpreted God's law. They falsely interpreted the word of God to mean what they wanted it to mean. So what they did is that they were teaching the people that swearing falsely by any other name is not a crime. You can swear by any other name you want. Like today, many people, they swear with on their mother's grave. But in Goma, or all those kind of things, swearing in your father's grave. If you were honest in the beginning, you don't have to justify the truth that you are telling. That is the point. So they were using all these names in vain, manipulating the scripture to have a huge following. They swore by heaven, Jerusalem, the earth, even their own heads. That was the problem there.
We have the very same problem today. People cannot just tell the truth. They want to swear, to justify, to make you be aware that now they are telling the truth. Once he says, I'm swearing on my mother's grave, then you must know. Okay, now he's telling the truth now. No, Jesus says, no, you do not have to even bring those words in. Not because it is sinful to bring those words. Actually, it is, because now you're bringing people who are dead as your witness. But you know for a fact that they are dead. How do you say with your mother? How do you say with your father's grave or your parents' grave? Are they now some kind of supermen and sisters who will come and look after you, or who will come and testify for you? No, you are teaching false doctrine. They are dead and they have no clue of what is happening. So why are you bringing their name? Don't bring false witnesses because you want to justify that you are telling the truth. Do not think you can swear by the temple or anything else to avoid accountability before God, or covering your dishonesty, because actually it was to cover that dishonesty. So you cannot swear by your parents' grave. You cannot swear by your parents' grave. They are dead and forgotten, unless you believe that they are still alive. And at the same time, you cannot twist God's word to fit in with your theology or your tradition. No, you cannot twist it for that. You need to be careful, friends, of the teachings that are around there. Because why? God demands honesty. If I may ask yourself, are you an honest person? Are you an honest person? Do you always tell the truth? I don't want to make you feel guilty, but I want you to realize how truthful is this. We need to introspect our own lives and see the manipulation that sometimes we do, covering a lie by telling some story that sounds like the truth but is not truth. The person can just decide whether it's truth or not truth. Hypocrisy. Are you a faithful person? Are you an honest person? So what do we need to do according to Jesus here? What is the best way to show honesty? That is the third point. So there we look at what Jesus taught on the issue of honesty. Verse 37. He says, let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. So Jesus is not contradicting what the Old Testament said, but Jesus is answering in the context of the question that was there among the people, or the teaching that the Pharisees were teaching at the time. So Jesus is answering the self-destructing manipulation of God's word. He's not saying the Old Testament was wrong by saying do not swear falsely, meaning that you can swear but not falsely. He's not saying that was not true. That was true. But he's saying for you to be safe, for you not to allow the devil to manipulate your heart, say two words. It's either yes or it's no. Easy. What an easy thing to say, but difficult to people of hardened hearts. It's easy. He says, say yes or say no. He says, your life should be a life of righteousness. You must be honest. Be honest. Honesty should be something that springs forth out of your heart freely, without being compelled by vows. Say yes or say no. So you should not bring God's name because he already knows what is in your mind and what is in your heart. God knows before you say things whether you're going to tell the truth or you're going to lie. So why justify? Just say yes or say no. He is the God who's all-knowing. He knows what is in their heart. So, unlike the Pharisees and the scribes, Jesus actually goes beyond what people say. He goes to the issue of the heart. Again, I'm repeating what I said 2-3 weeks. The issue is the heart. He says, it doesn't matter what your mouth says. Rather have a yes or a no straight from your heart and say yes or no. Don't tell anything else. Any story from there, any story that you say, it is from the evil. So he's more interested on the issue of heart. So be like Jesus. That is the point. Why do I say that? Remember when Jesus stood before Pilate? And Pilate says to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus didn't tell stories. He just said, "Yes, you have said so." It was difficult to say yes, because now he's meaning that Pilate is not the king, or there's no other king of the Jews except him. But at the same time, the people want to kill him for the fact that he said he's the king of the Jews. So, he said yes. So we must be like Jesus. Sincerity of heart. Telling the truth. So when we tell the truth, we must not seek to win the crowd. We must not seek to have something to witness for us. Unless we are dishonest people. Unless what you say cannot be trusted. So you need to cultivate a life of trustworthiness. That's what this is about. Cultivate a life of honesty. So that people don't say, he lied about that. Maybe he's lying about this now. You need to work on this. You see, Christianity is a journey, my friends. We work on these things. We take away the wheat in our lives so that the seed may grow and shine forth. This is what this is all about. It is a matter of telling the truth. Living in the kingdom of God is a matter of telling the truth, a matter of saying yes or no when you are answering. So when you visit my house or someone's house and a lovely woman there cooks her food and actually don't like it, don't say, what nice, delicious food. That's a lie. You didn't like it. But also don't say, what a terrible plate of food, what a terrible meal this was. You see now. So, you need a little bit of maturity how you deal with these things. You don't want to lie on both ends. You don't want to say the food is good. Also, you don't want to say the food is bad, because you're going to hurt people's feelings. So, Jesus is not saying telling the truth is to hurt people's feelings, or telling the truth is to over-exaggerate what is real. I remember sitting in a church one day, and one of the pastors there was a friend of mine, long time ago, he's no longer my friend. But sitting there, he says to his wife, standing in a pulpit telling his stories, he says to his wife, my wife, or he tells the church, my wife is the most beautiful woman in the world. I just looked next to me, and I look at my wife, this guy is a liar. That's not true. Then I said, maybe I'm far, and my wife is far. He does not see. I'm looking around the church. I see the lady interpreting for him. I'm looking at this lady. What? This pastor is a liar. His wife is not the most beautiful woman in the world. That is a lie. That is a lie. My wife, you're beautiful, but you're not the most beautiful woman in the world. You are not. That's the truth, friends. So Jesus says, say yes or no. Actually, the point, friends, that I'm trying to bring in. Be honest. Be honest. But be accountable for your answer. Do not say things so that you hurt other people's feelings. It doesn't mean when you tell the truth you must insult people or to impress people by telling a little lie. Listen to what James says, emphasizing the very same issue. James chapter number 1 verse 12. He says, "But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but your yes is to be yes, and your no is to be a no, so that you may not fall under judgment." That is the point of Jesus. As we look in verse number 37, Jesus says, tell the truth. Anything more than the truth that you tell, it is from the devil. A lie is from the devil. So you cannot say yes when the answer is supposed to be no. You cannot say no when the answer is supposed to be yes, but still claim to be telling the truth. If you do that, there is hypocrisy and manipulations coming out of your heart through your mouth and lying to other people. And you think you're lying to the people, but actually lying to God. Listen to what Colossians chapter 3 verse 9 says as you write down. It says, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. So lying is in us because of the old self. People who are expected to be liars are people who still possess the old self. People who have not come to Jesus for saving grace.
people who have not seen the light yet. Those are the people expected to lie. Not because they have to lie, but because of their sinful nature, lies part of their lives. So he says, put away all lying because it belongs to your past life. Now you are the new person. Behold, something new has come. So show integrity of life. Show something new. The fruit of something new should come out of you as you speak to your friends, as you speak to everybody else. Young lady, do not allow this young man to lie to you. But eish, upili ne, ungshanga phakathi. No, that's a lie. He's full of lust. That's what it is. If he loves you, he will come to you with decency. He will respect you. He will call you out the right way. Young man, stop lying. For what? That's a lie. What do you mean? Actually, as I was thinking of this, preparing this sermon in my mouth, in my mind, I'm walking to one of the shops there. I hear one shelf packer, a guy, telling another shelf packer, a lady, this sister says, in other words, I will pray for you. I will pray for you. You will be fine. We are born, and she believes that umshanga pagat. No, umshanga pagat. My wife does umshanga pagat. What does that mean? Umshaka mohari for what? It's a lie. I love her. She doesn't make my heart to beat slow. That's a lie. My heart doesn't beat slow when I look at her. Doesn't it beat fast? It continues exactly the same way. That is the point. So do not allow people to lie to you. So Jesus says, don't be those people who will agree to do something and later on that something is not done. You remember the parable of two sons in Matthew chapter 21? Go read it there. You will see one son said, I will go and do something. He did not do. The other son said, I will not, but he turned and went to do. You get people who say, I will do something, and they will not do it. Jesus says, do not be those people. People who commit verbally, but when it's time to act on their commitment, they are not there to be found. They want to be counted in when they are out. They fool you. They make you think there's 20 of you and while there's only 2 of you. That is hypocrisy. Jesus says, no, it has to stop today. People making themselves important when they are not. I have a brother somewhere in Secunda. He likes to drive other people's cars, very beautiful, beautiful cars. But every time my wife asks him, hey, so you've got a new car? He says, no, this is my new car. The other one, I sold it. Nobody asked him all these things, but always he's got a new car and he sold it. He wants to impress. It's a lie. It is a lie. Although you think it's just a small lie, it is a lie. People say things today and the next day, they change their minds. Jesus says, be honest. That's what breaks relationships. That's what destroys churches. That's what destroys marriages. Saying things that you don't mean and meaning things, but you don't say them. That's why it's very important to say the things that you mean and speak truth from your heart. Destroying lives. Saying things today and then you deny it the next day. And unfortunately, many Christians are doing that. Destroying friendship. And people like that, we cannot trust. Because there is a lot of lies mingled with the truth, making everything else and what is said to be a lie. Because a lie mixed with the truth is a lie. And a truth mixed with a lie is a lie. So you can't trust people because that's what people do. Jesus says, stop it. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Be a people of truth. Be a people who can be trusted at all times in what they say. Tell the truth and keep your promise. That is the point here. That's why, church, we need men and women who can be trusted. Men and women who can tell the truth. Men and women and children who are honest. Young men, be honest to your father and mother. Young lady, be honest to your parents. That's what Jesus says here. Do not be a hypocrite. Do not speak unnecessary words, trying to fool everybody. Let your answer be a yes and answer be a no. Do not try to cover up your hypocrisy. Let me close like this, my friends.
sugarcoating a lie is to dishonor God and to dishonor the way of righteousness. You cannot sugarcoat a lie. Because when you tell a lie, you sugarcoat that lie so that it looks like it's the truth. Do not do that. That's what Jesus is saying here. He says, be honest. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with someone else. Be honest with God. Be a man or a woman of your word. That is very important. Be a woman of your word. Your yes must be yes. Your no must be no. Be truthful. Remember what Psalm 15 that we quoted last week says, oh God, who shall sojourn to your holy temple? Who shall come to your holy hill? Who is expected to come to your holy presence? Who can be called your child? He says, the one who speaks the truth, the one who speaks something that has no deceit in it. That's what the psalm says. Let it be so with us as well. Speak the truth at all times. So what we need to be striving for, what we need to be aiming for in life, is to be found in the image of the Son of God, in whom there is no sin, in whom there is no deceit, in whom there is no hypocrisy, in whom there is no insincerity. We need to be in that image of God's Son, who was perfect in every aspect of life. Let us strive to be the children of God, cutting away the sinfulness of this life from within the heart before it comes out. May the good God bless us all as we think of this thing. May He bless us throughout the week until we see each other next week. Let's pray.